Jeff Horst Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning. 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with the show. Time permitting, we'll get to more of your text if we're able to. Joining us now, she is the director of the Center for Religious Liberty at the Family Research Council, very important organization in the Washington, D.C. ecosystem. But Ariel Torco joins us on the line here. Ariel, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for making time for us. And I thought this is just really important to talk about the domestic religious freedom here and the study you guys do annually about hostility against Christian churches in America, especially on the heels of what happened in Minneapolis a couple of weeks ago. But I wanted you to talk about this. Like, this is a longstanding trend. It doesn't get near enough press. You guys got the receipts. You know, it seems like an uphill battle, but we need to be talking about this a lot more.
Yeah, absolutely. So Family Research Council started to look into this issue several years ago now, when we just noticed anecdotally through the news, through what we were hearing in our communities, that churches seem to be targeted for more vandalisms and arsons and different types of just attacks against the church property itself. And we wanted to put numbers to that and see if it was actually true that there was a rise. And so we looked starting in 2018 through now we've looked at through 2024, and we noticed a pretty stark increase over the course of those years. In 2018, we were looking at about 50 incidents from what we could find of this catch-all phrase, acts of hostility, which includes vandalism and arson and shootings on church property, interruption of worship services, all of those criminal acts. And then in 2024, we identified 415. So that's a huge increase over just those 6 years. And we really believe that this is just the tip of the iceberg, because we are only identifying the already public known incidents that are reported in news media, that are reported publicly on social media. So we believe that there are many, many more that happen. This is really just the tip of the iceberg.
Well, and, you know, I noticed in my own church, and, you know, the increase in security, like, and I know this is very anecdotal, but I hear this from my listeners. But, you know, they're sending some of their parishioners off to go learn, like, security tactics. You know, they seem like they're one-off situations sometimes, but you never know when you could be the one-off. But, you know, just to practice the free expression of religion in America right now, it's not necessarily the safest place where it ought to be.
Yeah, and it's really sad that churches have to take these steps, but I actually think that's very wise when churches are intentionally increasing security. They're learning how to protect themselves, how to deal with someone that is interrupting a worship service, even just like installing security cameras to like catch acts of vandalism and inform the police. Those are all very helpful steps. And we don't have to live in a culture of fear and think, oh, we're next, like we're the next shooting or we're the next target of arson. We shouldn't be living in fear because America is still a safe place. But we do want to be wise, especially as we notice these trends where we do see more and more churches, for whatever reason, seem to be the target of some of these crimes.
And your study here, I think is very interesting. I mean, some of the culture, pop culture at least, there's a hostility toward Christianity, but I would say probably a lot of it as well, just from you know, the media and you know, political coverage and the way they portray the church, it creates this hostility that leads to these incidents.
Yeah, I think a lot of this stems from the broader culture in the U.S. right now. Like you said, when we have institutions of higher education, colleges, when they talk about Christianity, they often are talking about Christianity as being the oppressive culture in a given situation. And that's not really fair, but that's what so many students are taking away. We see this in college. We see this in high school, across education. We also see it in the culture, where how are Christians or churches or pastors portrayed in movies and television? They're often portrayed as either ignorant or stupid or backwards, maybe even that they are against women's rights or something silly like that. I think the culture understands Christianity less and less and has less and less respect for Christianity. And I think that does spill over practically. It makes sense that churches are going to be treated with disrespect if the culture just isn't respecting Christianity at all. And so if we're thinking about the worst case scenario for one of these churches, it probably is a church shooting that's like a direct target. But even if we're thinking about the most minor case of vandalism that's in our report, say someone's walking down the street and throws a brick into a church window, at the very least, that is conveying like a serious lack of respect for churches and for just Christianity as a whole. And I think we wouldn't see quite as much of that type of disrespect several decades ago. So it is like a bit of a temperature check on what's happening in our culture and how is our culture viewing Christianity in churches.
Well, and back to the news media, it's irresponsible. I mean, we have to be careful with so many groups and you know how the racket works there inside the Beltway. But what I find is when you have these incidents, no one's talking about that. There doesn't seem to be a problem worth discussing. The way it's treated, Ariel, is like, that's just the price you had to pay for practicing your hateful religion. And that's not right. We've allowed this to go on for too long. But is that your sort of interpretation that, you know, if this happens at a mosque or this happens at, whatever the protected class is, if it happens at one of their facilities, it's all hands on deck. But with the church, it's just shrugged off.
Yeah, sadly, I think that's a really accurate portrayal of what's happening. I'll give you a recent example. We saw a very large article in the New York Times recently talking about the Minneapolis shooting of Annunciation Church and Catholic school. And the New York Times was basically saying, well, we have no idea why this happened. We don't know what the motives are, acting like this was a total mystery. But the FBI opened this as an investigation into an anti-Catholic hate crime. It's pretty clear that this church and Catholic school was targeted in part because of what they represented, the Christian faith. The shooter had an image of Jesus that he had taped to his shooting target to practice shooting. I don't think it's a mystery that this was a crime specifically against Christians and what that this church and Catholic school represented. But when the news media is acting like, well, we have no idea why this is happening, they're clearly ignoring the religious motivation here. And I think you're right. They just don't want to cover it.
Well, they're treating it like it's just like random acts of violence. We don't know why people do what they do. Like this individual just walking by one day and decided he was going to shoot into the window of a church with children in there. We don't know what the motivation could be. And it's so dishonest. It's intellectually dishonest. They know good and well what it was. But yet, here we are. We played this silly game, and it seems like it's just been going on and on and on for a long time.
Yeah, it's so irresponsible the way people are treating it. One thing I'm thankful for is that the Trump administration does seem to be taking these very seriously. We saw earlier this year, President Trump released an executive order addressing anti-Christian bias in the federal government. And one of the things that he listed in his findings was the rise in attacks on churches. So this is something that the Trump administration is paying attention to. And I'm very grateful because the Biden administration certainly paid no attention to this. So it'll be interesting to see how the administration chooses to go about addressing this. And I'm very hopeful that this issue is getting traction, especially right now. So that's encouraging.
So we're not just imagining this, though, but bigger picture, there's something going on here. be it cultural or whatever, but there is a target, if you will, put on churches in certain circumstances in these institutions of Christianity. Maybe it's not a church, maybe it's something related to it, but this seems to be a product of an anti-Christian bias throughout our institutions, be it the media, be it Hollywood, be it Silicon Valley, Wall Street or whatever. It's there. You can't deny it. You sense it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think right now it's a time for us as Christians to be active, to be informed, and to be prayerful, especially because we do have the opportunity right now with the Trump administration, who is much more friendly to people of faith than past administrations. We should be praying that some of these issues are addressed right now. And we should also just be praying in general for just for peace in our churches, that we can worship freely without fear. No one in America should feel afraid to go to church and just live out their faith and do these normal things. And that's the case for people of other faiths as well. But I think this is a wake-up call for us to, one, take practical, wise security measures in our church, but also just be praying and praying for our culture, right? We don't need to, pray that Christians are the popular people in our culture. It's not about that, but it is about we want to live in a culture that respects religious freedom, that respects religious beliefs. And right now, we're just not living in that culture. So we do need the tide to shift a bit here.
Ariel, folks want to find out more about your study and the Family Research Council. Tell them how to do so.
Yeah, so you can see our report linked on the front page of Family Research Council's website right now at frc.org.
Hey, thanks for hopping on this morning, and best of luck in this endeavor.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
That was Ariel Del Torco there on the program. 251-343-0106. I'm going to roll through some of these texts before we get to the break here real quick. Unnamed texter. I still don't understand how it's fair for someone to get money out of the school system to send their kid to private school. The school system lose that money. If you choose to put your kid in private school, that should be on you. The school system shouldn't lose money just because you decide to move your kid. I still have to pay to that school, even though I don't have a kid. All right, we've been through this 100 times, but I'm going to do it again. Long time ago, unnamed texter, we decided in America we would have public schools. Kids, no kids, doesn't matter. You are a beneficiary of an educated population. For society to function, we determined that people in America needed to have some basic skills. Now, maybe it has backfired, it's not working as well, but we have a public education system. Whether you have kids or not, you're a beneficiary. Should you, as an adult, choose to bring kids into this world, you are eligible for our public education system. Okay? Your child still has to be educated. Private, home, public, doesn't matter. That child, the goal of society is to educate that child. Following me here? Okay. If you as a parent take the burden of educating that child off of the government, and you send your child to a qualified private school, you're removing that burden from the government. Should you get something in return for that? Something? Tax credit? That you're not taking away from the resources of the public school, the teacher's time, the space in the classroom, the books, whatever, all the associated costs of educating that child, and you're taking it on yourself. Should you get something in return? Yes, I think you should. But this is all silly because we have school choice in Alabama and it's not going away. So you may not think it's fair, but that's too bad. It's here to stay. I'm just looking forward, Butter Knife still at it, looking forward to see someone show us the facts where this dollar amount was given for public education. So Alabama subtracted the dollar amount from that and gave it to school choice. Show me without doing record budgets for public education. I'm a believer. Well, we're just now getting into it, okay? We've only had it for like a year or whatever, Butter Knife. Just hold your horses. Ultra Runner, rallying up a bunch of white voters, quote unquote. Well, you are the one who was looking at this problem of addition, not subtraction. My point of fact, reporting statistics, especially when they are not well known, can be additive. As for policy prescription, what about reversing pernicious and persuasive racial restorative justice? I still don't think it's additive. I think those voters are already with you, Ultra Runner. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.